Does everyone have a handout for Psalm 37? This is a psalm that is titled in my book, He Will Not Forsake His Saints. We're not alone in this world. Today is the 14th anniversary of my dad passing away. And it's amazing. Last week I picked up the phone to call him. Your dad is your dad. Never stops being important to you. And we have brothers and sisters here who their dad or dads are ill. Randy, doing well and everything, but when dad's sick, it's like Superman. Your Superman is hurt, and that's not possible. Even when you're older and you know that life is fragile and James Brown and the family, and it's hard. It's just hard. It's not easy. But we have a different way of looking at the world. And that's because we have an earthly father, we have earthly mothers, we have a heavenly father that loves us, that made us, that is in control, and the two men that I mentioned are followers of God. And we can have comfort in that, but it doesn't make it less hard. And so when our family is hurting, even if we're not blood family, it's families hurting, and we hurt with them. And so hopefully Psalm 37 will help us. Will help us remember that God is in control. That God teaches us and tells us how to have a life that is pleasing to Him. And we'll read the first six verses of Psalm 37. Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Now, there are a few words that come up that show that this was written to the children of Israel and dwelling in the land and things like that. But we're spiritual Israel, right? We're all heirs of Abraham's promise that all the nations will be blessed. So maybe some of these things aren't as physical as they were here, but they're all spiritual. But in the first six verses here, what's something that you saw that was a commandment that we are to do? Something we're commanded to do. Do good. Right? Something else? Do not fret. So you can't play the guitar. Bad joke, okay. And don't envy. Right, envy the evildoer. So these things that we are told to do or not to do, let's start with fret. Don't you love it when someone tells you, oh, don't worry about that. And then they walk away. How easy is it not to fret, not to worry? It's hard, right? Especially when we don't have something to put in our brains and in our minds when we see the evil in the world. It's hard not to get upset when if you want to be upset, just watch the news, right? They never say 850,000 people got home safely in the roads today at Houston. They tell you all the bad stuff that happened. It's easy to fret. But we're told to not fret because of the evildoers or be envious of the wrongdoers. Parents, have you ever had that conversation with the kids? Have you ever, they get to do this and this and that and this and this and that and we don't get to do that. Have you ever had that conversation? A few parents have. The other parents have little angels that levitate everywhere they go. And that's great. Congratulations. I don't know what that's like. But we have to teach them, but we also have to learn ourselves that we're made for something better, right? So don't fret. Don't look at the evildoer and be envious of them. because they will fade like grass. They will wither like the green herb in the field. We're getting to winter. What happens to a lot of the grasses and everything? They die. Right? They're no more. They're insignificant. Do you ever mourn? You know, Tracy might say Zane does because he likes his plants too much, but do you ever mourn that oh, there was that you know, Turk's cap and, you know, it withered to the ground this winter. Do you mourn that? No, it's insignificant in your life. If we're right with God, then the evildoers and the wrongdoers, they can affect us. They can do evil against us, but they can't affect our promises with God. So how do we trust in the Lord? What's required for trust? Commitment. We have to commit to do that, right? It doesn't accidentally happen, right? What else, if we're going to trust in God, do we have to have? A close relationship, right? Love, right? If we love God, if we have a close relationship and we commit ourselves to God, then we can trust in Him, right? But can you love something you don't know? Do you accidentally learn about God? No. Do you begin loving God just as some theoretical thought? Does that really move anybody to do anything? No. God has to be real, right? Hebrews 11:6, we must believe that He exists and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, that's the beginning of it. But then, what has God given us that would bring us to trust Him? This isn't blind trust. Why is it not blind trust? Because God has, fill in the blank. Provided. Promise. And does God always tell the truth? Right. All good things come from God. We look at the beauty around us. We see the sacrifice of His Son. We see Him forgiving us even when we're rebellious. All of these things combined with us deciding to trust God. So the fret, right, is the opposite of trust. So we're taking the fretting away. We're taking the worry away, but we're putting in that place trusting in God. And do good. Right. When we're reading God's Word, we can now learn more about Him, learn that He is trustworthy, learn that He loves us, and more. If you get married, and that a month after you get married, you stop talking to each other. Good marriage or bad marriage? That's a bad marriage, right? The guy's like, what did I do? Yeah. When they say they're fine or not. So, just so you know. But, so we have to talk, we have to communicate, we have to learn about each other, right? And as that marriage goes on, at least in my experience, after 24 years of marriage, I thought I knew Tracy 24 years ago, or 28 years ago when we started dating, but I know her a lot better now. And what's surprising is that she still loves me after knowing me much better, right? But we learn about each other. We now are closer. We have a better understanding of each other. We've been through a lot of things together, and that's what's required for us to build trust, to build faith. It's not like, I got enough faith, I'm done. It grows. It grows because you and God go through life together. You're not alone. No matter how scary, how bad it seems, we're not alone. We're with God. So if we, again in verse 3, if we befriend faithfulness, what does that mean? Or was there another version that says something different? Sir? Cultivate faithfulness. Yes. Feed on His faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Dedication. Being trustworthy. Right? So we're going to be faithful to God. We're going to be faithful to His promises. We're going to be faithful to His commandments. We're going to do good. We're going to trust. Have you ever been so worried about something that you can't do anything else? I have been. You can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't think, you're worried, you're worried, you're worried, you're worried, and it's all consuming worry. You can't do anything. And that's what God wants us to not do. The things that we can change, right? Work on those. Do good things as we have opportunity. If we can't handle it, hand it over to God. and trust in His answer. And that is a very beautiful thing. How do we delight in the Lord? Yeah, Psalm 119:11. Right. That's how we become strengthened. Remember His faithfulness. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I stored up in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, having a Bible on the shelf, it's nice. I guess you can dust off when the elders come, but unless it's in your heart, unless it's readily available, when you are being tempted, when you're being tried, when you're seeing the evil of the world and being tempted with this, that's when it does good, is if it's readily available there. You know, and that's something we need to do. So how do we delight in the Lord? A lot of times in Psalms it says, delight in the Lord, delight in His law, delight in this, delight. Yes. Yeah, when we have that relationship, when we're thinking about, when we value what God values, and that's the second part of that, He will give you the desires of your heart. Does that mean you're getting the fancy car and the big house? No. If we delight in the Lord, what are our desires? Do they change when we become a Christian? Should our desires change? If you become a Christian, they have to, right? That's part of being a Christian. So now we have a different set of desires. We want to be pleasing to God. We want to be with God. We want to have a close relationship. We want to trust in Him. And He gives us the desires of our heart. And that's a beautiful thing, that when we do that, we can be satisfied. Is this world satisfying? I mean, no. I got some heads like this, and that's the right one. I always forget if this is nod or shake or whatever. But it's not satisfying. You can't have enough fame. You can't have enough power. You can't have enough money. You can't have enough stuff. You can't have enough of that to make this life worth it. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has put eternity in our hearts, and the only thing that can fill that is God. The only thing that can be eternal in your life is your relationship with Him. And then we have to trust that God will act. Now that gets a little weird, right? Because sometimes we think of God as this spiritual being that does, you know, that listens to our prayers, but He doesn't change the world. Do you ever get caught in that trap? That God doesn't really change stuff? Okay, everybody's looking at me like I'm goofus. So maybe I'm the only one. But if I'm not careful, God becomes a spiritual being that's over there going, okay, Zane, you can do it. Zane, you can do it. Zane. But I don't see Him, because it's not miraculous. I don't see the lightning bolt, you know, boom, blowing something up and making my life better. So I can get the thought that this is a mental exercise being a Christian, that I'm kind of just walking alone, right? Hopefully y'all never experience that and y'all can look at me like I'm crazy. But we can get into that trap. Does God act? Yes. Doesn't mean He acts miraculously, but does He act? Is His providential care true? Does He answer prayers? Does He listen to what you are concerned about, worried about? Have you ever been with someone who's really distressed? And there's nothing you can do can fix it, but if you sit there quietly and let them tell you all that they're concerned about, you notice how much better they feel? And you're like, I can't fix anything. Right? Yet imagine, and we should know, talking to God who can do something about it. And letting Him know our burdens. And trusting that He will act in the way that He should. Because He knows everything. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So He will do what is right, even if we don't know what that is. I'm talking too much. Okay, verses 7 through 11. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off from those who wait for the Lord. But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Okay. Whose job is it to punish the evildoer? God. Okay. So if it's God's job then whose job is it not? It is not ours. It's not ours. Wrath is not our job. It is not our job. Now, that can be really disheartening sometimes because your justice gets a hold of you, right? But then there's something really nice. Has anybody ever been on a criminal jury trial? Has anyone ever served on a jury for like murder or something? Yeah. Was that a scary prospect? Right. Would you wish that you could be omniscient and really know what happened? Yeah. Well, exactly. You know, anything to get out of that. But it's unnerving because you're having to make decisions that have very big consequences, and you're only dealing with the evidence presented. You don't have the big... What we can do, though, is we can hand justice to the one who will do it perfectly. Right? To God. And when we hand it over to God, we can let go of it. Right? You ever had to get over something? If you're more than like two, you've had to. Right? Just get over it. Don't you hate when people tell you that? Your parents? Oh, I'm sorry, didn't get to go to one, Get over it. My parents were very, very, very kind about that, right? You know? And so, yeah, get over it. So what specific actions or attitudes should we have when confronted by evil? Shouldn't get mad. Do not get angry. Patient. Right. Now this is a hard one, right? Who likes to be patient? No one. But think about this, though. If we're supposed to be patient for evildoers, when we do wrong, what is God to us? Patient. No. Long-suffering. Yeah, that's a better word in a lot of ways. Patient to us is, you know, long-suffering is suffering for a long, long time because of this evil. But we do that. Because we know that God's going to handle it because God has asked us to. And then somewhere we need to be thankful that God is patient with us, right? When we reach that age where we are responsible for our actions, the first sin that we do, we deserve to do to what? To die. The wages of sin is death, right? Lightning strike, boom, veins gone. Vaporized right there. That's justice, right? God didn't do that. He didn't do it on the second sin, the 500th sin. Haven't kept count. We're not going to guess how many that is. But He didn't. Because He is patient with us, wanting us to come to Him. So hopefully that'll help us be patient with the evildoer and trust that God will do what is needed. Does anger help many situations? Anger, when you get angry, your heart rate increases, right? And if your heart rate increases over, I think it's 120 beats per minute, all the blood flow from your brain and your digestive tract is taken away, not all of it, but the vast majority of it, and is put to your muscles, right? Because your body is getting ready to fight or run, right? If there's not a lot of blood, and we can tell that, you know when you get nervous and your heart starts racing, how you get a stomach ache? That's because your body is going, we're not digesting food now, we're going to go because we got to fight or we got to run. It does the same thing with your brain. It reduces the blood flow to your brain and you can't think as well. It really happens. But we got to figure out how to not be angry so that we can do what is needed in that time. So what's going to happen to the evildoer? Right. In a little while, the wicked will be no more. Look carefully and He will not be there. What is God trying to tell us? Wait on Him, and as bad as it looks, they're not going to prosper. And the meek shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? I thought the business axiom was you get what you negotiate. Right? Isn't that the business thing? What does the meek shall inherit the earth? What does that mean? What does God want us to get out of that? In the day of judgment, would you like to be Pharaoh or Patsy Olive? This shouldn't be a hard question. Patsy Olive, right? Well, now, You look at all of the grandeur of Pharaoh. Why would you want to be Patsy Olive? Right. Living for God, living and being faithful to Him gives meaning to your life today. It makes your actions important. And it makes your actions important for eternity. The size of your bank account isn't going to last, no matter how much it is. But being kind, being loving, being patient, being faithful, those never stop returning blessings to us. Never. For eternity, we will have the benefit of making those choices like Karen said. Very important that we look at what we will inherit because of what we have invested in God and trusting Him. In verses 12 through 22, we have verses that are kind of a contrast between wicked and their punishment. Instead of reading all of these, was there one of these that stuck out to you that you thought was a good example of this contrast? Verse 15. All right, so 14 and 15. Would you read those, Dan? So the wicked draw swords, they bend the bow. They're shooting those who are needy and poor and those who are good, upright people. But what's going to happen to them? Right. It's like their swords will be enter their own heart. Their bows will be broken. If you live by violence, you will die by violence is kind of the proverb you would or saying you would hear today. But that's true spiritually. If we're the person who is doing these things, who is being wicked, who is drawing the sword and not doing justice with the sword or the bow, you reap what you sow. Yes. That's very good. That was the one I chose. Another one that y'all might have liked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Why did you like it? I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. It is a very good one. It is beautiful. You're not requiring the strength of your arms that is going to sustain you. God upholds you, right? Kind of like the little kid, you know, when they're Caleb's age and they're going to climb up, you know, the ladder, you know, and they're going to do it themselves. But, of course, the parents over there, right, because they're tiny and you're like, oh, they're going to break their head open because that's what parents are afraid of. And so that's what God does is not the strength of our own. And the people who are wicked that seem to be prospering, their arms, their strength will be broken away from them. Any other of those that stuck out to y'all? Yes, ma'am. I like it. Yes. Yeah. And that's so very true. You know, it's like the one who dies with the most toy wins. You know, have you seen the poster? Yeah. What does God do with that? The one who dies with the most toys is dead. Right? God has the last laugh. So that is a very good one, and I like how people want to portray God and Jesus as this kind of does have a little bit of a ha ha ha, you thought this was going to be good. You asked for this. Well, that's what happened. Alright, so in verses 23 through 34, these verses in general concentrate on righteousness. What are some of the things that the righteous are commanded to do? Stay away from evil and do good. That pretty much encompasses it all, right? But what other things? Wait for the Lord and keep His way. Very good. Keep His law in your heart. Another example of it's not just your actions, it's your heart that matters. So when we look at this, we have stay away from evil, do good. How do we know what is evil and how do we know what is good? God's Word. God decides that, right? God doesn't stop the universe and go, now Zane, what do you think about this? Well, he hasn't yet. No. He hasn't. Why not? He decides, right? If you want to know how to maintain your car and want it to last a long time, do you read the owner's manual and see what the recommended maintenance is? Do you ever, Zane have been driving cars forever? I've never looked at an owner's manual. But you should, right? What type of oil do you use? What type of lubrication schedule? All of those things, right? Because you want it to last a long time. If you want a pocket knife to last a long time, don't use it as a screwdriver, right? Would you agree? So we have to look to the owner's manual written by our maker that tells us these things. So we can make that distinction. So we can do that. So what are the consequences or the blessings that are promised if we do these things? What are some of the blessings? Inherit the kingdom of God, right? Yeah, we're looking at it spiritually. Very, very true. We get to be with God. That's the ultimate, right? What other thing? Here's a section in here that I really like. I have not seen the righteous forsaken in verse 25 or his children begging for bread. Okay? Now, that's a very physical-like type blessing, right? But I think that if we look at it, it applies to us too. If I lost my job, and for some reason I couldn't get one, or let's say I died, are my kids going to starve? Are they going to starve? Who's going to feed them? Everybody should be raising their hand. Don't you love my kids? Right? It's your job to make sure my kids eat, right? Isn't it? So are my kids ever going to beg for food? No. And your kids won't either. Because it's different. We have a different relationship with each other because we have a different relationship with our Father in heaven. It changes everything. Now, do I have life insurance and things? Yes. But y'all will make sure that doesn't happen. And I'm confident in that. Even if you don't like me, you gotta like my kids, right? But it's a beautiful thing that we have. We have physical blessings and we have spiritual blessings. If your parents are followers of God, does that help you in your life? Very much so. They will never have an excuse to not eat the spiritual food of God. They will know. They will know where that spiritual food is. They can reject it or they can take it, but they know where it is, and that's a very, very beautiful thing. Pick too long of a song. All right. Verses 35 through 38 contrast the future of the righteous and the wicked. What is the future of the wicked? Cut down, destroyed, right? What is the future of the righteous? They have a future, a living on. So we didn't define this. What does righteous mean? Doing what's right. You hear that? The state of doing what is right. So those who do what is right, they have a future. Those who are wicked, and wicked is anything that's against God, right? We think of murder, wicked. Well, it's against God's commands, right? So yes, of course it is. But it's not evil because we decided it's evil. It's evil because God decides it's evil. And that's what we have to do. This world tries to redefine wicked, don't they? Well, Zane, I mean, no, look at this logically. I mean, if you logically look through it, why would this be wrong? Why would abortion be wrong? Why is living together wrong? Did you know that 25% of Americans believe that living together is wrong? 25%. They got it logically, though. I mean, you really need to see if you're compatible before you get married, isn't it? Right? Do they get to decide? Do we get to decide? God decides. Doesn't matter if we can understand it or not. God decides what is wicked. And we have to do that. So where does salvation come from? God. Not a trick question. God. So salvation's God's, right? So we do enough good, so our good bank account's bigger than our bad bank account? No. No, no, no. If you think you're going to earn heaven, it's impossible, right? And so we can't do that. Salvation is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. What is a stronghold? What do you think of when you hear the word stronghold? A fortress, a castle. I was thinking, I'm a little more medieval, I guess. I got a moat. I got caltrops, which are the pokey things in the moat. I've got the drawbridge. I went to a castle in Scotland, Dunnetar Castle, which I say incorrectly. Nobody understood what I said. That's how it's spelled. But you walk up there, and it's on this little island-like thing, you know, by the ocean. And when you step up to the front door, there are all these holes pointing at you. Right? Because they can shoot arrows, and they can pour boiling oil on you and light it on fire. Not a very welcoming feeling, because you just look, and all of these holes, you know, they're little bitty ones, but they shoot, you know, it's not good. It's a stronghold, right? You're not getting out. You're not getting in. This is important. If God is our stronghold, can He ever be defeated? No. Can there be anything that can get us if we trust in the Lord and He is our stronghold? We can still say. Does that mean that bad things won't happen? Satan's still there. Death. Physical death. Still there. But it's kind of like with a little child. And they're scared because of their lightning and thunder, right? When they get with mom or dad, do mom or dad stop the thunder and lightning? No. But the kid still knows it's okay, don't they? It's okay now. Because I'm with my parent. I'm with my father. And that's what it's got to be. When we are with God in His stronghold, we're safe. Okay, so it ends. The Lord helps them and delivers them, and then skip over the wicked part, because they take refuge in Him. Salvation comes to those who take refuge in Him. What is refuge? A safe place. Kind of like what we're talking about with the stronghold. It's that same image that God's trying to... Right. We have to go to His stronghold. God, you know, it's like, God's on my side. God is never on your side. You want to be on God's side. Completely different way of looking at it. I know it sounds like semantics, but you need to be on God's side. You go to God. That's very important. We go to His stronghold. That is what leads to salvation. When you trust someone, if you trust your doctor, are you going to do what they say? Generally, right? Unless they say, no more Dr. Pepper, and then there's some things, right? No. If we trust someone, we will do what they say. When we trust them, we will seek them out. When we trust someone, we will want to learn more about them. When we love someone, we will look to learn more about them. And then if you really love someone, you're going to tell others. Aren't you? Have you ever seen someone fall in love and just be that giddy and them not mention their significant other? It doesn't happen, right? And so we know the stronghold. We know the refuge. We know what matters for eternity. And we should love others enough to tell them about this thing. Because it's the only thing that will fix the world around us is God. And another minute and a half, maybe? What? Any comments? No? Yeah, we'll see that. The great physician, right? So it's very, very good. All right, so Bruce was handing out some stuff that's going to be for Sunday Lowell's teaching. It's about the children or grandchildren, so please fill that out and be prepared to talk about that on Sunday.